verse number 1 together. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, this is an example. This is an example of faith, what it is. And this is a definition of what faith is. Things hoped for, usually future, and things unseen, evidence of things unseen. And this whole chapter, this particular section as well, is a section of faith. Let's read verse number 2 together. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, the elders, those pastors, bishop elders in the New Testament church and others, have obtained a good report by the Lord, trusting him by genuine faith. Let's read verse number 3 together. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This verse knocks out evolution completely, does it not?
Amen.
And it's not made. And then notice, through faith we understand by the word of God. We must understand creation by the word of God. Creation is being doubted in many places. We've got to understand that it's true. It's in the scriptures. And many even Bible schools or colleges, so-called Christian schools, are denying creation these days. But by the word of God, we see the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's no evolution. You don't start with animals and fish and all of a sudden become human beings and people. It's things that God made through his creation ability. And let's read verse number 4 together. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So here's the first example of faith, biblical faith. On Abel's part, God told him to offer animals, the blood of animals. And he told that same thing to Cain, but Cain took of the fruit of his ground, and God was not pleased with that offering. And though he was dead, Cain slew him, yet he still speaks by faith. In Genesis 4, we see the story of Abel's and Cain's situation. Adam knew his wife, bare Cain, said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bears his brother Abel. Abel was the younger of the two. He was a keeper of sheep. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, vegetables, fruit, not blood. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had not respect. No respect for offering vegetables or something else to the Lord. He had no respect. And Cain was furious at that. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why is that countenance fallen? He was angry because his offering was not accepted. If thou doest well, then thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And to thee shall be his desire. Thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. They got together. One of the offerings God accepted. One of the offerings God did not accept. And came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? It's interesting. He lied, he knew exactly where he put him. Matthew 23:35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon this earth, the blood of righteous Abel, and the blood of Zechariah, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. So the blood of Abel was a curse the righteous, we call righteous blood shed upon the earth. And in Luke 11, verse 51, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And then Hebrews 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now Abel in the Old Testament was accepted by faith and sacrifice of the blood of animals. In the New Testament, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's accepted today. Let's read verse number 5 together. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch was a man that was translated, raptured up to the skies. God decided he's not going to be seeing death. He took him up to glory, and he was not found because he pleased God. This is why God took him out of this world. His story is found in Genesis 5, verse 18, following. Jared was his father. He begat Enoch, and he lived so many years after he begat Enoch, some 800 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared, 902 years. 962 years, rather. And he died. Now, Enoch was 65 years and begat Methuselah. He was the oldest man recorded in the scripture, as you know. And that's when the flood came, when Methuselah died. Before the flood came, Methuselah died. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and all the days of Enoch 365 years. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. So the translation, the snatching up from this earth into heaven of Enoch was a wonderful thing. It's a measure of God's love for Enoch and Enoch's love for God. He was a righteous man. Let's read verse number, is that six? Six together. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is, without faith, impossible to please the Lord. Faith in his word, faith in himself, faith in what he promises to do, that's what pleases the Lord. Without faith is impossible. A lot of people are trying to be saved by, without faith, by their works, by money, by masses, by baptisms. But it's a personal faith, not of the head, but the heart, is what's necessary. Let's read verse number 7 together. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he obtained the world, and then became heir of the righteousness which is by faith, condemned the world. So here was Noah warned of what was going to happen by God. God warned him. Now, it had never rained before, just a mist to cover the earth, and God said it's going to rain. And you have to build an ark large enough to contain everyone of your family and two of every beast of the field and seven pairs of those that are clean animals. But Noah obeyed. The story is found in Genesis chapter 2. Every plant of the field was very, it was there and grew before the Lord. It had not caused rain at its point. No rain had been fallen on the earth. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Lamech lived and begat a son, called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hand. Noah means comfort. He was a comfort to the people. And because of the ground which the Lord had cursed, He'll comfort us, the work of our hands. And Lamech lived, his father, many days afterwards, a total of 777 years. And then in verse 32 of this chapter 2, Noah was 500 years old, and chapter 5, and he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He had three sons. Genesis 6, beginning at verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sounds like today, the writers and the internet and the movies and all these other things, evil hearts. Repent of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him to his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. The Lord was upset about him. He was tired of his wickedness, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. It repented me. I changed my mind that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. He was a just man, perfect in generations. He walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was very corrupt, as it is today, before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth and beheld it. It was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, completely wicked. And God said to Noah, and the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make of it. An ark, thou shalt pitch it. Within and without with pitch. Then in Romans 3, verse 26. Remember, it says in this verse, righteousness which is by faith. Here's some of the verses about righteousness and faith. In Romans 4, verse 3, Abraham believed God, was counted to him for righteousness. Only by faith can we gain righteousness before the Lord. Faith in Christ. In Romans 4 and verse 5, we know this one, let's say it together. For to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then again in Romans 10 and verse 4. Perhaps you know this one. If we do, let's say it. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, ones that trust the Lord as their Savior. In Romans 10 and verse 10. Perhaps you know this one. If we do, let's say it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then in Galatians 3, verse 6, perhaps you know this one. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Then Philippians 3, and verse 9, and be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is by the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Noah illustrates righteousness by genuine faith. Let's read verse number, is it 6?
8.
It's number 8. It's a little tiny print, it's hard to read. Verse 8, let's read that together. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go up out of the land which he had received for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So God told him to get out of your land. He obeyed. He went out. Abraham's story is found in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, from the land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, thou shalt be called be a blessing. And I'll bless and bless you, and curse and curse thee. And then in verse 4, Abraham departed. He obeyed God. God says, get out of your land. He left. And the Lord spoke unto him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he went out. Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, the brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth out into the land of Canaan. Land of Canaan they came. He obeyed the Lord. Genesis 22, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That seed was the Lord Jesus Christ. Eventually, he would be one that would bless the whole world if they had faith in him. Genesis 26 and verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Oh, that all of us would obey as Abraham did, whatever God told him to do. Let's read verse number 9 together. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. Now his story is continued in Genesis chapter 20, for example. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. So he came toward the land. Then in Genesis 21, verse 34, Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Genesis 23, verse 4, I am a stranger, sojourner with you. Give me possession of a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. So he is a man of faith. He went where God wanted him to do, and where he wanted him to go, and was obedient to the Lord, like we should be as well. Let's read verse number 10 together. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, the city we should be looking for is heaven itself. That's a city that has foundations, a city where the Lord Jesus is, a city where genuine Christians, those who have trusted him genuinely in their hearts as their Savior, will be going, whether by rapture, which will be snatching away immediately, or the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are genuine Christians will come afterwards and we'll be caught up together into the clouds. That's one way we go to heaven. Or we go to heaven when our spirits and soul leave this body and we die, and we go immediately into heaven as well. But that's where we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Let's read verse number 11 together. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now Sarah's story, this is in Romans 9 and verse 9. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And then in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. He's faithful that promised. Now Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. She was past getting children, and the Lord caused that to be changed, and she was able to have a boy as well. Let's read verse number 12 together. Therefore sprang up even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the sea shore, innumerable. So, one who is almost dead, 100 years of age, Sarah, his wife, was 90 years of age. It's a miracle that was performed by the Lord and sprang up as him as good as dead, speaking of Abraham. So many as the stars of the sky, the sand by the sea. That's a lot of sand, a lot of people. That's what God promised. In Genesis 22, in verse 17 and following, that in blessing I will bless thee, talking to Abraham, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars in the heaven, many multitudes, millions and millions of stars, as the sand which is upon the seashore, all kinds of grains of sand. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Then in Genesis 26, in verse 4, speaking of Jacob, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. The promise was given to Jacob also, as well as Abraham. And thy seed, these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That seed refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is blessing in that seed of Abraham. In Exodus 32, in verse 13, Moses said, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, in whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. Over and over again, God promises the seed, the children, as the stars. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 10, speaking to the second generation, the Lord shall, your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 22, again to the second generation, thy fathers went upon down to Egypt, and 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. And God has done that to Israel, and certainly once they come to the Lord as Savior during the millennial reign, there will be more stars, believing stars, than even as they are today, very few today. Let's read verse number 13 together. These all died in faith, and not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Seeing them afar off. Things that you're promised, you don't see them today necessarily. It's far off. And the Lord in His Word is telling us of things that were far off, genuine Christians, if we're genuine believers today. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6 and following, Paul says to the believers there at Corinth, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, no one has seen heaven. No genuine Christian has seen heaven. Paul saw heaven. He's caught up. He died. And God showed him the glories which are coming. And most of us here still living today, never seen him. But present with the Lord, seeing things afar off, as Abraham and others did as well. And then in 1 Corinthians 3:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All the genuine Christians, saved people, the unsaved will appear before the great white throne judgment and be sent to the lake of fire. We, who are Christians, we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. So these are things not seen as yet. And Abraham had promises as well. Let's read verse number 14 together. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. If the people say there's a country waiting for us, I've never seen it before, I'm just patiently waiting for it, that's the ones who seek the country. If we're seeking heaven, this earth is not our home, we're just a passing through, as the songwriter said. Let's read verse number 15 together. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have an opportunity to have returned. Now, the Israelites were that country of promise, but as it says in Exodus chapter 15 and following, they wanted to go back to Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness. They had problems in the wilderness. They complained, wish we'd stayed in Egypt. And they didn't want to do God's will. In Exodus 13:17, for example, came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them out, not rather through the way of the land of the Philistines. although that was near for God. And he said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God did not want his people to return to Egypt. And he wanted them to get out of there as they were on their way. In Exodus 14 and verse 10, Pharaoh drew nigh. In other words, the armies, they said, all right, there was a tenth plague. The sons, the firstborn son of Abraham, of Pharaoh, and all the Egyptians died. And finally, after 10 plagues, Pharaoh said, get out of here, the whole Israelites, and leave. When Pharaoh drew nigh, but then he changed his mind. He said, I'm going to go after these Israelites. We need it for workers, for helpers. When Pharaoh drew nigh and his armies, children of Israel lift up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. Children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, is thou taking us away to die in the wilderness? We should have stayed in Egypt. That's what their complaint was. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Well, they didn't like it in Egypt, yet they're telling Moses, you should have left us stay there. Let us stay there. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness, with all these armies chasing after them. As you remember the geography of that, the Red Sea was on one side, mountains on the other side, and the Red Sea in front of them. No place to go but through the Red Sea. But they were angry. And they said, Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes that's what we've got to do, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, his deliverance, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. All these thousands and thousands of Egyptian soldiers coming after them.